Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fatherhood is a very special thing. It's something that we hold to be one of the highest things that one could obtain in this life, to be the father of a child. Now, our culture doesn't quite see it the same way as the church has come to know that fatherhood is a blessing from the Lord. And blessed is the man who fills his quiver with a heritage from the Lord, his children. But now, what if you were in the position of Joseph, who, having been bound to Mary with this contract, that he would marry her, betrothed to her, and yet was found that she was with a child, and it was not his? What might you do in the position of Joseph? Even before the word of the Lord came to him, he was a just man, wanting to do what was right. And knowing that by the law of Moses, a woman who had been unfaithful, even before fully being consummated in marriage, she was to be stoned to death. But Joseph, being a just man, wanting to have mercy and compassion, chooses to bear the shame and to bear the guilt. And instead of submitting her to public ridicule and the possibility of that stoning, instead he decides that he will put her away secretly or quietly, lest she be put to death. He was a merciful man, but this child was not his. And yet, out of all the men in all the world, just as we say with the Holy Mother, the Virgin Mary, Joseph was chosen to be the guardian of Jesus, his earthly father. What a noble and wonderful gift that Joseph was given. And by a word of the Lord through an angel in the midst of a dream, Joseph comes to find that he should not have any worries. For the angel says to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So not only was Joseph a just man even before this word of the Lord came to him, but now, having heard the word of the Lord, he fears not taking Mary to be his wife. He gladly accepts this responsibility and follows what God has spoken. How challenging this must have been for this man, though. Because it is only by faith that one could accept such a word, such a miracle that is beyond our comprehension. For there are many people nowadays, many who call themselves Christians, that completely deny the virgin birth. The virgin who conceives by the power of the Holy Spirit. But not Joseph. Not Joseph. Joseph did not deny it. He believed it. And he took Mary and Joseph into his home. And he provided for them and protected them. He cared for them. He becomes a father of the church in some sense. Because there he is one of the first to believe in the Messiah. He is one of the first to believe that Mary is the mother of God, the Son of God, our Savior. That's remarkable. Being a father is not an easy task. There is much that is demanded of you. Because now there are lives that are entrusted to your hand. It's not that you only have to worry about yourself. Now you are concerned about the life of others. And now this isn't just a simple life that you are to be concerned about. This is Jesus who will save his people from their sins. This is big. Everything that the prophets have spoken about is contained in this child, in this small infant. And now you hear that this infant is yours to care for. But Joseph does not do it alone. He does not do it alone, not in the least. For even when it came time for him to be born, the Lord provided even a humble beginnings in a stable. And when it came time for him to have to flee from King Herod, the Lord provided him means through the Magi that come from the east, bearing gifts, enough gold to be able to provide for his family because they were needing to flee to Egypt. And Joseph, not questioning the word of the Lord, takes Mary and the child and they flee to Egypt. He lives in a strange land and he cares for this child and he cares for his mother. And he makes a way there in Egypt until it is time, as the Lord commands him to return. And when he returns, he does not again question the word of the Lord. He returns back to the place after Herod had died. And being concerned yet that there might be those who seek his violence, he, as again a faithful man, we must assume praise to the Lord, for the Lord answers him again and tells him to turn aside to Nazareth. And there again, the word of the Lord is fulfilled that he might be called a Nazarene. This teaches us something, that godly fatherhood comes when you trust the word of the Lord. As a man, and you grow up in this knowledge and fear of the Lord, it is important for you. But here, Joseph is the example of faith that we learned that the power of godliness is greater than all the violence that could be had by man on this earth. There is nothing greater than the power of godliness. For when God is on your side, when God is leading and guiding you, all things can be accomplished. Things that you think are impossible, they are accomplished with faith in God. He delivers us. He ensures the plans that he has for us are brought to fruition. That we be delivered not just from our sins, but from all enemies, from all harm and danger. He guards and protects us from it all. So that the most and greatest good is delivered to us, that we be rescued from our sins. And that's what happens here. Joseph hears the word of the Lord, and he obeys the word of the Lord, and there born is Jesus, and Joseph names him Jesus, which means God saves. And not only in Joseph's life did he see how the Lord saves him, but then even he himself is a recipient of the forgiveness which Christ came to bring. We don't know much about Joseph's life beyond the young years of Jesus, but we know that he must have died prior to Christ's death on the cross. And though that death is not accounted for us, it must have been a beautiful death, in the sense that who would you rather be by your side but the mother of our Lord and the Lord himself? Joseph was a just man, and there is one day that we shall see him and meet this man who was given to be the guardian of Jesus, who by example of his faith teaches us to be led by the word of the Lord and led by no one else. To not fear the powers that be above us, but again to humble ourselves and listen to God's word and be led by this. For it delivers us out of all of our troubles. But now we are not led by Joseph. Now we and the church are led by Christ himself. It is spoken of, as St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, that Christ is the head of the church. The one who has rescued her, who has saved her from her sins. It is Jesus who leads his church, just as Joseph led his family. But Jesus does it in an even greater way. For he is truly a just one, in right in all that he does. It is the Heavenly Father that sends him as our guardian, our protector, our deliverer. It is God, the Heavenly Father, who chose Jesus and God the Father who gives him to us, that we might be saved from our sins. Jesus is the messenger of the Father. He is the Word in the flesh. He leads and guides us by his holy word that we might be rightly instructed as the children of God. Jesus teaches us to abide in the will of the Father, for that is where we find our comfort and our peace. And as Jesus abided in the will of the Father, he too went into a foreign land. He went into our land, our place of sin and death, and he triumphed here. The Lord saw fit to deliver him from all of his enemies. Even though he suffers death, he rises again. He faced off in the wilderness the devil who sought our life, so that we might be rescued from all our harm and danger. And Jesus did not merely enter conflict for conflict's sake. He came here so that we might be brought from all of those who oppose God, that we might be brought out from all of those who would seek our eternal death. When Jesus teaches us the will of the Father, it's so that we too might find ourselves to be like he was. He was a carpenter like his father Joseph. But should not we also find ourselves to be about the Father's work? For as Christ grew, he grew in the Father's word and doings and deeds. And as Jesus began his public ministry, he says, "Now I am doing the works of my Father. Where I see the Father work, there I am working." He builds his church. We are the living stones of Zion being built up. In fact, you can read in Isaiah these words. The prophet Isaiah says, "When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, his offspring, his children. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." By Christ and his death on the cross, by his dying, he brings forth the first fruits, the offspring of the Lord. For by faith, like it is written of Abraham, he shall have many children. Just as we learn that Jesus is the head of the church, we, the offspring, we are the children of God. We are born from faith, not by the flesh of man, but by the will of God, by the Spirit, by the water and the Word. We are made his people. God has seen through the offering of Christ for our sin. He has seen the fruits of his salvation. He brings it to us. And we, as the children of God, follow after him. We see in him the image of the Father, the Heavenly Father, because Christ has loved his church. He has loved his people. He has loved the sinners in giving his life into death. He has sent for us to bring us out of all of our captivity. We praise God that he has given to us not just Joseph, who is a great example of the faith, but the son which Joseph also raised, whose name is Jesus, who is for us also a great example of one who lives righteously before the Lord, obedient to his word, just as we ought to ourselves be led by the word of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.